invite you to turn in the Red Pew Bible to John 20, starting at first verse. You'll find it on page 1074. And if you're using the large print, it's on page 1685. John 20, starting at first verse. I ask you to listen with fresh ears this morning. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said. "And I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. "I have seen the Lord," she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Almighty, all-knowing, ever-present, Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of your holy, inspired word. Sufficient for all things having to do with salvation. Powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out. And that is done through God the Holy Spirit, who we pray upon us this time. Prepare our hearts and minds, Lord, to hear this wonderful account of the resurrected Christ in that first Easter morning. And we ask that it would be real to us, that we would experience it. And I pray this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
The message is entitled, "Who Are You Looking For?" I confess that lately I've wondered if my time at Emmaus Church is up. Should I move on because there seems to be little fruit and a lot of frustration? Would Emmaus Church be better served by someone else? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe this thought is only the sorrow-filled Saturday before the resurrection day. Maybe I need to go to the empty tomb and find the resurrected Christ. In the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, there was a falling away of many of Jesus' disciples. They found the teachings of Jesus to be very challenging. On hearing it, many of the disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Imagine how discouraging that must have been for Jesus. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. It was the body of Jesus that Mary Magdalene saw. Who is it that you are looking for? Every year we celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday. We read the same scriptures over and over again. Are they so familiar to us that we take them for granted? Have they become dull and dead to us? We sing, Christ the Lord is risen today. We sing, Christ is alive. And we may know this to be an objective fact in our minds. But is it really in our hearts? Is Jesus alive in you and to you today? Maybe we need to go to the garden tomb of Jesus ourselves, each one of us. Maybe we need to answer Jesus' question to Mary, who is it you are looking for? Maybe Jesus needs to be resurrected within us. Is that idea foreign to your way of thinking? While the idea of Jesus being manifested within us seems strange, it has a lot of biblical support. And there's at least two reasons why it is hard to grasp. First, it is a supernatural occurrence. Second, too few Christians evidence the truth of Jesus living through us. Warren Wiersbe queries, historical faith says Christ lives. Saving faith says Christ lives in me. Do you have saving faith? Now I'm going to give you several scriptures to support Jesus living in and through us. This will be all on the website. You don't have to write it down now. They'll be on the website tomorrow. Thank you, Shirley. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Romans 8:10. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Galatians 1, verse 15 and 16. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians 1, verse 27. Apparently, the Lord's pretty serious about this idea. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, once we get past the challenge of comprehending such a magnificent promise, we must appropriate it too. That means we need to take hold of that promise, or even better, we need that promise to take hold of us. As we live into our faith blossoms and it frames every aspect of our lives. Paul gives us another verse to express this concept of Christ in us, this reality, in Galatians 4, verse 19. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Christ formed in you. But that verse ends in a comma. Following verse, verse 20. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Maybe Jesus needed to be resurrected in the Galatian Christians. All that I have said about individual believers can be applied to the church, the body of Christ. Maybe easier for us to understand in this context, because the church is supposed to be Christ's representative and reality here on earth. The very language used facilitates our understanding. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Just as each one of us have one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We belong to each other. Colossians 1, verse 18. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Since the COVID pandemic came upon the world, great harm has come upon the body of Christ. Each family and every person had to make challenging choices about safety and gathering in the assembly of the church. The pandemic is not over, and there may be more to follow. What was sold as a temporary situation has become the new normal. And when people stay away from the church, they are missing out. They are not experiencing the community of Christians. Additionally, they are withholding their own special spiritual gifting of God, the Holy Spirit, from the other members of the body. We say that we worship in spirit and truth. Our spiritual life is most critical, not our life in this body, but your spiritual life is most critical. When I go to gatherings of the clergy, pastors talk about what's going on, right? Our experience here at Emmaus is not unique. The other churches have similar situations. When I went for my annual local pastor license review before the district committee on ministry, they asked me how things were going. That's standard procedure. I explained how we were down to about half the attendance numbers from before the pandemic, and that our children's ministry was especially hit hard. Every head at the review was nodding in agreement. What I described was pretty much the norm. There's no doubt that we need Jesus to be resurrected in the life of Emmaus Church, this particular body of Christ. I have spoken of the need to experience Jesus' resurrection in our personal lives. I have spoken of the need to experience Jesus' resurrection in the life of the church. Now, I want to address the need to experience Jesus' resurrection in the life of each generation. It seems our children's ministry was hit especially hard by COVID, and I believe that is because we were still struggling from the loss of Connie's longstanding efforts in this ministry when she and BW moved away. We had yet to make a healthy transition when COVID came. Next week, we shall be relaunching our children's ministry under the leadership of Samantha. Thank you, Samantha. I appreciate it. In my discussions with her, I am encouraged by her attitude and belief that she has been called to this ministry. Her ideas of encouraging community among families is essential. Her intention to inform and nurture the children in alignment with the sermon so that the children can discuss it with their parents is exactly right. To raise children in the faith, church and parents must be a team. So this past Thursday, I saw a great example of bringing Jesus alive in the next generation. The Pilgrim Academy had their annual Grandparents' Day celebration. Normally, it's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, but after a two-year hiatus, it was held on Holy Thursday, just a couple days ago. Mr. Starr, the headmaster, reported that registration for next year is very strong, on top of this year's substantial expansion. The Grandparents' Day program had the children share how and why they appreciated their grandparents. Then each grade starting with kindergarten, ending with the sixth grade, presented different music. And at the end, all of the children of the lower school went up front and sang praises to God together. As you watch it now, I want you to see if you can see the resurrected Christ in this generation. It was an awesome experience to be there and to hear that. I wish I could have had the volume up louder for you. But it was hard not to be significantly moved by hearing nearly 200 children sing praises to God, hallelujah, for their salvation. So I hope you did see the resurrected Christ in the life of that generation. So this week, as I worked on this message, I wondered if my concept of experiencing Jesus' resurrection in our lives might be a little bit out there on the fringes. Carol says, oh, you're never out there on the fringes. Then yesterday, I received an email about our bishop, from our bishop of the Greater New Jersey Annual Conference. And I want you to hear now just an excerpt from Bishop John Scholl's email. I do not know about you, but I could use a resurrection. Resurrection is the gift of raising us up beyond our circumstances, beyond pain, beyond suffering, beyond sin. beyond everything that seeks to consume health, joy, justice, and life itself, I can use a mini resurrection each and every day. That is why the woman faithfully followed Jesus. In Jesus Christ, they experienced a resurrection every day. I too experience many resurrections every day through you, your congregation, your leadership, and your ministry. You are the body of Christ, embodying the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Thank you. In this Easter season, let us all continue to be faithful and live so that others witness and experience the resurrected Christ in and through us. Now, it's not often I agree with the bishop, but I'm glad that we agree on this. As we witness and experience the resurrected Christ, well, my devotional from this past Wednesday was on the hymn In the Garden, which is our closing hymn, right? The hymn was written by Austin Miles, who died in 1945. I had already chosen this as our closing hymn on Monday, so I found it a blessing to find this information, this account, on Wednesday. And the central verse is the closing verse that we read today. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. It was in 1912 that music publisher Dr. Adam Geibel asked author and composer C. Austin Miles to write a hymn text that would be sympathetic in tone by breathing tenderness in every line. One that would bring hope to the hopeless, rest for the weary, and downy pillows to dying beds. Mr. Miles has left the following account of the writing of this hymn. He said that one day in April 1912, I was seated in the dark room where I kept my photographic equipment and organ. I drew my Bible toward me. It opened at my favorite chapter, John 20. Whether by chance or inspiration, let each reader decide. That meeting of Jesus and Mary had lost none of its power and charm. As I read it that day, I seemed to be part of the scene. I became a silent witness to that dramatic moment in Mary's life when she knelt before her Lord and cried, "Rabboni." He says, "My hands were resting on the Bible while I stared at the light blue wall. As the light faded, I seemed to be standing at the entrance of a garden, looking down a gently winding path, shaded by olive branches. A woman in white, with head bowed, hand clasping her throat as if to choke back her sobs, walked slowly into the shadows. It was Mary. As she came to the tomb upon which she placed her hand, she bent over and looked in and hurried away. John, in flowing robe, appeared, looking at the tomb. Then came Peter, who entered the tomb, followed slowly by John. As they departed, Mary reappeared. Leaning her head upon her arm at the tomb, she wept. Turning herself, she saw Jesus standing. So did I. I knew it was he. She knelt before him with arms outstretched, looking into his face, and cried, "Rabboni." I awakened in sunlight, gripping the Bible with muscles tense and nerves vibrating. Under the inspiration of this vision, I wrote as quickly as the words could be formed the poem exactly as it has since appeared. That same evening, I wrote the music. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. I'd stay in the garden with him though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. My brothers and sisters in Christ, with Paul in the letter to the Philippians, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Too few Christians experience the power of Christ's resurrection in their lives. They walk along the water at the beach, allowing the water to gently splash against their ankles and maybe up to their calves. They never wade out into the deep and get baptized by the waves of power found in the resurrection of Christ, our Lord. Let us thirst to experience the resurrection of Jesus in our personal lives, in the life of the body of Christ, and in the life of the coming generations. I ask you once again, who are you looking for? Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Most glorious Lord, why are so many of us satisfied with so little of you when you offer all of you? Lord, we create divisions in our lives and we only allow you in certain portions. When we go about our daily activities, and we're struggling, and we're wondering, bewildered and disappointed, satisfied in short-term happiness that is gone in a moment, in a flash. And we're like, we thought there'd be more. Is this all there is to being a Christian? Lord, give us a heart, a desire to live into the fullness, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. And let each day be a testimony to the goodness and greatness and love, the holiness of God. Lord, we look at the world, we listen to the news, we wring our hands. What can be done? Lord, for this you created the church. May we embrace the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have it define our lives. We long for your kingdom to come. Pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.